I want to welcome everyone that is here tonight, and I also want to welcome those that are logging on into the internet. We have listeners from all over, and one, I want to especially reach out and say, hi, Johan. I hope you're logged on and listening. We'll be seeing you soon. With that being said, we've been speaking a series on forgiveness and offense and judgment. And these three are very important to coexist into our lives. For one, you have to learn how to forgive. You can't have forgiveness from God if you don't forgive. And one of the things that helped me was not to take an offense. Basically, just look at it and say, interesting kind of thing, you know, which falls under judgment, and not to take any judgment. You can't judge the situation, because who are we to judge? If we understand the authority and the glory of God, then we would literally back off on our, I want to say, opinions, because that's really what they are, they're opinions.
Well, it's because you take your life personally. The reason why we judge, the reason why we have unforgiveness, is because everything is personal. When you come into Christ, you don't take your life as personal anymore. It's not your life anymore. You're living your life through God. You're living your life through the divine nature.
Well, you also have this knowing of his deity.
Correct. It's like an honor and respect to him.
And knowing that he's ultimately in control of everything.
Correct.
Right. The hearts.
Yep.
Right?
Situations, hearts, everything. Yeah. Everything.
Because if you look through Scripture, doesn't God harden the hearts and soften the hearts?
Yep.
So if we kind of stay on that track right there, that God is ultimately in control of everything, but yet at the same time we have a free will. Now this is where a lot of people say the Bible's nothing but an oxymoron kind of thing, because you know you have God's in control of everything, but yet you have a free will.
But your free will is in the soul. It's not in Christ, because in Christ you're a bondservant to God. When you're in the soul, you got a free will. You can do whatever the hell you want.
Right, you can do whatever you want, but God's ultimately still in control.
Well, he is, but you think you're in control when you're not in Christ.
He allows you to walk the path into the free will, but then at the same time, he's still ultimately in control.
Yeah, because he'll harden hearts and soften hearts around you
to
force you to kind of revert into his will.
Direct you.
Yeah.
And guide you.
Yeah.
That's amazing, isn't it?
He influences it. Yeah, he influences it.
Even when we, I share with people, like, if you really love God and your heart, you don't even really have to know him. He'll guide you and lead you and direct you. You don't even have to know God. If your heart is in that place, Lord, you know, I want to be in your will, so to say, he'll guide you and lead you and direct you.
He's guiding everybody anyway, whether you're in his will or not. He's guiding you. He's hardened every heart, softened, hardened by God.
Yep.
He's hardened, softened every heart.
Yep.
Because, listen, they're in your way. He's got to move them for you. You're important. So he's moving them all for us. He's getting his will out there any way he has to, and he's hardened, softened every heart out there that's out there. Everybody. They don't have control. Nobody does.
So this takes away worry.
Right.
Getting back on the offenses and the forgiveness, God is working things out amongst us. And to have unforgiveness based on your opinion, because I want to say your opinion, it's really judgment.
Yeah,
but
right.
I want to just say opinion, because we can relate opinion. Opinions stink. We really should throw all of our opinions out the window.
Right.
Not have any opinions at all. Just look at it, and if you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't, you know, and just leave it at that. Did you ever hear somebody talk, and they're just always talking about what they think, what they do, what they want?
It's based on their logic. It's not based on any validity or truth. It's just logic.
Pure conversation of opinion.
Yeah.
And it's like, I really don't want to hear your opinion.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Babble. And you know, God hates babble.
Hates it.
Hates Babel.
Destroyed that place that they built. They destroyed that temple they built.
Yeah, he doesn't like Babel.
No.
I think, moving forward, I think God is trying to instruct us and those that are out there, because they're listening. We all, for one, you got to remember, we're not separated from anything other than His people. So when we speak about us, we're actually speaking about God's children, God's people, God who calls and knocks on their door, because not all are called. Not all are called. And some are even created to be evil. Do you know that the Bible speaks about some being created to be evil?
Yeah, it said many are called, few are chosen.
Yeah. And so that's why you always look at everything with no judgment whatsoever. So if somebody wants to look like this or talk like that or whatever, you just kind of say, interesting. And it allows you to really love. Love unconditionally, because love is really important.
But we can discern.
Yeah, well, we didn't get to that yet, because I'm going to talk about discernment, and discernment will be allowed to bring facts and truth up.
Right. But it's not judgment, though. It's a different from judgment.
Right. It's a I want to call godly, righteous judgment, even though it's not coming from us. Coming from us, it's a form of judgment. Coming from discernment in Christ is a form of godly righteousness, you know, godly judgment.
Well, you're kind of seeing where what's manifesting in that individual. All right, if somebody's either helping you or mistreating you, you're discerning what is moving in that person.
Right.
So you're not judging them and saying, "Oh, they're awful or they're this." You're just saying, "Okay, interesting. What's going on?"
You're looking at the truth.
You're looking at the truth.
And right. God is truth. Yep. So that's why I say it's godly righteousness, you know, godly's judgment, because if you always base everything on truth and facts, so to say, that's why our court systems and the judge says just the facts. Well, just the facts.
You're not going to take an offense. You're not going to judge it.
Yeah,
that's how
you're
not going to
take it personally.
That's how you stop all gossip. Just
exactly
giving back
right.
facts.
That's it.
They gossip, you throw facts back at them. They can't keep going. You cut it right off. If you're dealing only facts, you'll never hear gossip again. They don't want to talk to you because you're just dealing with facts. They want to talk about opinion, you deal in facts.
Right.
That's how you become separated.
So you're nipping babble and you're nipping gossip.
Correct.
So having forgiveness is probably one of the greatest gifts that anyone can receive in your own life.
Yep.
By giving forgiveness to others. Forgive yourself and forgive others. Because that in itself, we know that God now can forgive us.
That's right.
See, there's a lot of Christians out there that don't understand the true gospel or the laws of the gospel. Heaven's gospel.
Spiritual laws.
Yeah, spiritual laws. Yep. And the Christians really got to start tapping in to what it is to receive God's forgiveness. They, like Pastor Tim said earlier, "Oh, I'm okay because I believe in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross and shedded his blood," you know, for us. There is also other religions that have some sort of frame of forgiveness of sin. Like, I'm blessed with one of my Jewish friends with us today, and she's well rounded in the Judaism doctrine, and
she's scholared in it.
So, Rachel, I'm going to ask you, what is the Judaism Hebrew way of forgiveness?
Interesting. Yom Kippur.
Oh, very nice. So we're going to speak to all the Yom Kippur people up there. The New Year, yes, it's this week,
Rosh
right?
Rosh Hashanah, right?
Monday, Rosh Hashanah.
The Book of Life is open now.
Book of Life.
You have a week to forgive all your sins.
Week.
Everything.
Okay, so you have 1 week in a period of a year's calendar to confess what you think is bad.
Even things you didn't think you did, you still ask for forgiveness for.
Okay, so you ask forgiveness for the things that you don't even know if you did them or not. Okay.
There's a huge list that's read on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement.
Okay.
And as long as you confess to all of those things, and God hears your heart, you're written in the book for another year.
Okay, so as long as you confess those things in that year, you're good for a year.
Yeah, you have 8 days.
You got eight.
Until the revolving year again.
Yeah,
you got 8 days, man. You got 8 days to complete this.
And now you're good for that year.
So everything's covered.
And you're, you knock your heart.
Oh, you're tapping your heart.
Now it's 45. In 10 years, it'll be an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's a huge, it's a big, it's this list you read for the sin that I committed, right. the sin of this.
Next year, it'll be you're all in. You're just in. Everybody's in.
Okay, so now with that, it's a formula of forgiveness of sin, and you're good for a year. Okay, that's pretty good. Christians, they're good all the time now because they believe in Jesus and that he did it and died for all of our sins. And we don't even have to confess.
The Bible still confess.
They still confess?
Yeah, all the Catholics confess. All the Catholics confess.
Okay, well, I'm going to take Catholic different from Christianity.
Now, Christianity still goes to
confession.
Well,
a lot of Christians
pray to God and ask for forgiveness in their prayer closet.
But if Jesus took away all their sins, how can they have to ask for forgiveness?
Because they don't believe it.
The constant state of, I'm sorry for this. Right.
Right. They don't.
It's
they
the
don't
constant doing what they don't want to do, realizing they're doing wrong, and going back and asking forgiveness for the same thing they keep doing. It's a non-stop cycle. It's never going to stop until they repent. You're repeating your same things that you don't know you shouldn't do over and over again, and there's a guilt that follows that, and there's actually a groaning inside them that says, I need to be forgiven, so they just find some way to appease themselves.
Okay, so they come over guilt.
Because there's the conviction.
Through the conviction or condemnation.
That's what it is.
Well, first they ignore the conviction, and then it turns to condemnation because they keep repeating it rather than changing the way they're thinking.
And then they feel really bad for doing it.
Correct.
Over and over, and over and over.
And they can't
and
stop
over
doing
over.
It.
Right.
And they just keep saying, I'm sorry.
Correct.
Because
correct.
Jesus died for me. Okay.
Correct.
That's the Christians.
I'm bleeding the blood.
Then you got Catholic. Catholics, they go to the Father, right?
Confession.
In the box.
Yes.
And they ask the Father.
The priest.
Can you go say sorry for me?
No. He says your repentance is 8 Hail Marys, 5 this and 10 of these, and then go this, and then you're forgiven. That's your penance.
That's right.
You have to go pay this. Go whip yourself with this whip right here 20 times, and you're forgiven. All right.
Yeah. So we're getting...
Say the rosaries about 25 times. You fall asleep, wake up again,
bleed.
Say it again 25
times. Your fingers bleed,
you're
good. Your fingers bleed from right here,
you're good. Well, this is good because now we're starting to break down these religions that are actually thinking and believing how to be forgiven of sin.
There's no grace, Jim. There's no grace.
No grace.
It's all works. It's all works. It's
but
all works.
Are you born in sin or not?
You're not.
Correct.
Okay, you're
sin
not born in sin.
You create sin.
Sin is created within.
Let me tell you why. Because God said this. Listen, he said in 2 Corinthians, he said, I am no longer counting your trespasses against you.
No longer am I
counting your trespasses against you ever again. It's not your sin that sends you to hell. It's unbelief.
Yeah. This is the true gospel. Unbelief is really what God requires. He requires belief, not unbelief. He requires faith.
Yes.
Okay?
But it's faith in his Christ, which is the sonship of God inside of you.
The divine nature. Well, we'll get to the root of belief in a minute. But I like the point that Rachel brought up because
different religions believe different ways.
Yeah. Well, most all believe that we were who don't believe in sin.
Judaism says you are not born in sin.
Oh, good.
Christian Catholic related things. You are born in sin and have to be baptized to be cleansed of your sin as an infant child.
You're right.
Jews say, you are born pure of heart at the time of birth.
Okay, that's good. Judaism says Judaism got it pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay, because then you got that growing up, and you got that 1 year time of confession.
Now, you're exempt until you are of the age to understand.
Awareness, right?
Acknowledge.
And it's not a number.
No, it's just
your personality.
It literally says of the age to understand.
Yeah, and that makes sense, and that's even in the eyes of God.
True.
No. So, like for an infant. For an infant or a child that doesn't understand sin, they're pure.
Correct.
So if they leave this earth,
correct.
If they die, they're in heaven.
Yeah, no awareness.
Yeah.
Just, I'd rather you not know anything.
Right, than to know me and be
exactly
lukewarm.
Right.
So
all those that are listening who have a child that passed or whatever, they're in heaven.
Heaven.
If they had any knowledge of sin, then that's a second degree. We'll have to talk about that later. But anyone that has been an infant or no knowledge of sin whatsoever, they're all divine.
Correct.
They're all pure.
Yep.
They're all pure in God's eyes. So they're in heaven, and I can't wait to see them all, you know? But they're all up there in heaven. Now, those that understand sin, what is sin? Sin turns out to be a lust. A desire that goes against your conviction.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
Conviction will come first. Yep. All of a sudden, let's say this here is something that I'm starting to lust. Ooh, I want
that. But you're convicted not to drink.
I want it. Right.
A desire goes from a want to a need to a lust.
Yeah. I want. But. That conviction comes in. If that conviction doesn't come in, then it doesn't turn into a want and need and a lust.
If you follow the conviction.
If I want it, it's no problem. I don't feel good. Then if I say, ooh, wait a minute, and I start feeling a little convicted over it, maybe I shouldn't.
Then you follow the conviction, you're pure in God's eyes.
Right. You're good. You put it down.
You're righteous.
But if you ignore the conviction, and let's say you party or whatever, you know, and maybe I shouldn't have done that, you know, and heck with it. And then you keep continuing to do it. That becomes sin.
Correct. That's one level you're talking about. But the other level is this. You can't even get to the bottle. You don't have it. It's unattainable. You can't touch it. You can't grab it. And that's where your desperation comes in, because you can't even grab it. If you're doing alcohol or drugs and sitting right there, you can grab it. But if you can't get it, that's another level of desperation, you know?
If you want it. You're ignoring the conviction.
Correct.
It's right. We'll just stay focused on ignoring the conviction.
Yep. Yeah.
There's something that is inside of us that we know that we shouldn't be doing it.
Yep.
It could be anything.
Yep.
Anything. There's always something inside of us that we know that we shouldn't be doing. Maybe it's talking to an individual or whatever it is.
Let's say you got a job that's coming up that you might want to, you really want to take, but God's saying no in your heart. There's a conviction not to take that job, but you really want it.
It looks good.
It looks great.
It might look good.
And then you go into it and you're like, oh, nasty. Well, you're in sin. You didn't listen to the conviction.
Yeah, well, that's the deeper walk of this gospel. That's the deeper walk of this gospel. In the beginning of this gospel, we have to get our listeners.
Just a one.
Yeah, just to have an understanding of conviction.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That is conviction, though.
Yeah.
Because you're saying, I want that job, but then there's a conviction inside your heart that says, don't take it. Don't take it. And, you know, and then you ignore it, mm-hmm. and you go into it, that's when you're falling mm-hmm. into the lust, the sin.
He's what he's saying is that level of conviction comes later on in this gospel. The level of conviction they have now is just like, I got to have this phone. You know, you're talking about another level.
Yeah, but we're also bringing in conviction because we're saying not
Correct.
To do that.
Correct. You're right.
So what's the difference?
Well, let's find out from our audience. Let's check in with our audience. How do you describe a conviction? Let me hear. What do you feel when you feel a conviction? How's it feel?
It's a feeling inside. It's like you're doing something, you know, and you know probably that you shouldn't be doing it, and your inside is saying, don't do it, but your body is saying, I can't help myself, I'm going to do it.
That's a good example.
Conviction can be good and bad. You got to remember that. It's not,
right.
It's not all bad.
Exactly right.
So it's not a bad thing. That's condemnation. Conviction right. can be good or bad. You can't say it's bad.
Exactly right. We'll get to that point in a minute.
We're talking about it
before,
being bad.
We're talking sin conviction.
Before you even do it, though, sin. There's an uneasiness. A conviction could be just an uneasiness to say, I don't think I should
You're
do that.
About conviction in general. Conviction in general is that uncontrollable urge that says you have to or you should not do whatever it is. It's that
Correct. Good or bad.
I just said that.
Right. It's
good
a good. It's a good or a bad.
Right.
But
right.
I want to focus on the bad, because we're talking about sin. I don't want to talk about good convictions. But good convictions can turn into sin too when you don't listen to them.
And that's what Tim was talking about earlier, about the job, you know, taking the job when he knew he shouldn't have been taking the job, but he took it anyhow.
Right, because you fell into the lust of wanting to do it.
Right.
Yeah, and you ignored it.
We got a call from the audience. The internet audience. Oh, jeez. Excuse me. I'll let you take over for a second.
So as we're explaining, there's two different types of, there's conviction and there's also condemnation, you know. So like the audience was saying, it could be a feeling of uneasiness or it could be feeling of strongly to do something. So it doesn't mean it's good or bad. It just depends on the situation as well.
Yeah.
But with that being said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we spoke it on Sunday, and we were talking about, you know, choices. And life's about choices, and you want to make the right choices. So what God wants to do is he leads us with conviction. He leads us with this peace in our heart or a check in our heart. You know, you feel good about it, or you feel, maybe I should hold up on that. This is God's way of directing us. This is God's way of steering us down his path. All we want to do is be right. That's all. We just want to be right. We just want to find the will of God in our lives and have it fulfilled for us. So we have to have conviction. Conviction, if we don't follow it, becomes condemnation. Because conviction from God is him saying, go left instead of going right. Go left here, don't go right. And if you go right, condemnation comes and you start feeling sick, you start feeling guilty, you feel sort of condemned.
You know, and the other thing too is like what Pastor Sam is saying, there's a word and a voice that's inside your heart. It's God's precepts, it's his commandments that he instilled since you were, even before you got into this world. And it's something that everybody always asks is, how do you know the voice of God? How do you know the will of God? Well, it's directly written on your heart inside. And that's what we're talking about and why we're bringing up conviction. Because conviction is God's truth. It's God's word for your life. And he puts desires in your heart. He puts things, goals. He puts things that he wants you to accomplish in your life. And the only way you're going to recognize that is through the conviction. You know, which way to go, which way to stop when there's things that come up in your life. And if we're ignoring that, that's where it becomes sin. Because like Pastor Sam's saying, there's a condemnation, there's a guilt that comes up, and you start to feel nasty about yourself. You know, an example of this is like Adam and Eve. When Adam ate the apple in the garden, he felt like crap. There was guilt, there was shame. They hid from God, and God, he was walking with God in a communion, and it was communicating with God every day, and God was saying in the garden, Adam, where are you at? And he told God he was naked, and he said, well, who said you were naked? You know, because of the guilt and the shame, you feel naked, you feel all alone. And that's why, you know, when we're talking about sin, there is different degrees of sin, you know, but there's always room to repent. There's always room to change the way you're thinking in a situation and turning away from that condemnation and then the act that's causing you to feel like guilty and shameful.
Yeah. You know, God wrote a law on everybody's heart, and that law is your life. Everyone's life has already been carved out by God's finger on your heart from beginning to the end, and that's all we have. That's our life. And what happens is we go through circumstances, and you know, we just want to follow that life. So what God does is just brings, you know, direction, or he brings a choice for us. And the bottom line is, you know, inside your heart, you do know. You'll know the truth because you have the path already written on your heart. So when you hear the right direction, you're going to know. Because it's already inside. It should reflect what's already in you. If it's not reflecting what's in you, but if you, someone says something to you, says for you to go left, and in your heart you have no inkling of going left at all, not even a little bit, you got to question that move. Correct. Because you should know. You should have a peace. You should have a peace knowing what direction to go. And this is, you know, I guess we're really talking about direction tonight, because people are just stuck and they don't know which way to turn. And when your life's not changing, when your life's staying the same, yeah. Definitive insanity is doing the same thing every day, looking for different results. We just want to change. And if we're not changing every day, we're getting stagnant.
Yeah.
We want to change. We want to keep moving forward. This whole ministry's job is to keep you moving forward on that path of your life. So we're here to just keep tweaking you and saying, listen, this is conviction, this is condemnation, this is the right, you know, you'll know. We're not going to tell you to go left or right. We're just going to say, what are you feeling? What's your heart telling you? Because you know, I don't know your path. You know your path. Only it's a personal relationship. It's you and God. He wrote a law in your heart different than me. So if you're going to go left and I'm going right, we're still in the same, we're still in the God's will. We can go different ways and still be in God's will. That's the whole thing about an instant relationship with God. It's personal. It's intimate.
You know, and the other thing, too, is like Pastor Sam, we were discussing that, you know, when you're following that conviction, you're following peace, you're following that written law that's written on your heart. The one thing that we aren't is we're not religious. We're not religion. Religion wants you to not be unique. It kind of wants you to look like everybody else. You know, you kind of fall into the traditions of the world. Like, the world wants you to look a certain way. And then if you're not looking that way, you kind of feel like you're not accepted. Well, that's sin if you follow that. You know, because God created everybody unique. He's made everybody unique. Everybody's path is unique. It's not everybody's path the same. It's unique. Same thing with the conviction. His conviction is different than my conviction. His conviction is different than my conviction. But I can't follow his path. I can't follow his path. They can't follow my path. But we have to follow the path that God created inside of us. Or guess what? We're not righteous in his eyes. We're in sin.
So we got as far as the individual's life.
Individual's life, yes.
And
correct.
The law written on your heart and following the conviction, and you already know the path. You should, the direction outside of you should reflect what's in you to know which way to go.
Yep.
We're not here to tell them where to go. We're just here to direct them to follow their heart.
Right.
And when they follow the conviction, there's peace.
And that's the true gospel that God wants all of us to understand in this day and age. Right now. I mean, it's been like this for centuries, but it's gotten tainted by religion. It's got tainted by different doctrines. Like, we just heard Judaism. We just heard Catholic or Catholicism.
Catholicism.
Yeah. And then there's others, too, like the Muslim and the Buddhist and Hindi.
Scientology. There's all kinds of stuff out there right now.
Yeah, which creates like a tradition or a work.
Yep.
And God is like saying, no, I've created a life within inside of us in each and every one, because there has been a plan since the day we were born.
Correct. Correct.
That's the amazing thing. See, to understand God is to understand that when he brought us on this earth, he had a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us.
Right. Yep.
And for him to allow us to live his will is to fulfill his plan and purpose. And that plan and purpose is led by conviction.
Yep.
It's led by conviction.
Yep.
And if we walk within the conviction, we are in the will of God.
Correct.
And if we're in the will of God, ultimately we fulfill his purpose.
Correct.
And then that's when he says, well done, my faithful servant.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of this gospel. It's not a tradition or a law of do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. It's a life that we can appreciate within ourselves and appreciate within each individual.
Yeah.
I can respect you, even though that I might not agree with everything. I can respect you. I can respect you, even though I don't agree with everything.
Yep.
I can even respect myself, even though I don't even agree with half the stuff I do. But the bottom line is that we have that life. And that life, when we follow the will, this is the beauty of the gospel.
Put you under grace.
Yes, and not only does it put you under grace, but it releases an extraordinary substance that I call peace and joy.
Yep. And righteousness.
And righteousness. Yes. It's a cleansing.
It is.
And you walk
You're getting washed
you walk
with
it.
A supernatural cleanse.
Yep.
Yep.
You feel good.
That's right. You don't feel dirty.
You don't feel dirty.
The whole world is looking for a way to not feel dirty.
Hey, that's my point.
They're all out there. We talked about it before you were in there. We talked about the fact that they're all looking for a direction. They can't find it. They're all starving. They're all insane. It's
exactly
insanity.
Right.
And they're looking for a change, but they can't find it. They're looking for that righteousness.
They're looking for that.
They feel dirty. They feel dirty. You're right.
And not only feel dirty, they're looking for that ecstasy, joy, ecstasy of peace.
It makes you feel one with God.
Sure.
When you're not walking in that, you feel like God's distant.
It's a peace beyond all understanding.
You feel like he's distant, but he's right here in your heart because you haven't come into him. Because when I say into him, it's the commandments written on your heart. You haven't come into it. That's why you feel distant. And people think God's way out there because they haven't come into it right here.
You know, I'd like to just try to teach our listeners how to walk in conviction, break away from the traditions and the laws of do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs. Do you know how many people are hindered by living because they feel that it's wrong in their mind?
Why do you think God
But their heart is saying something else.
Why do you think God gave the Ten Commandments? Why do you think he wrote them down on stone? Because he knew they couldn't follow him. He knew apart from him they couldn't follow the law. And that's what people are trying. They're following a law. They're still following a law. It's called patterns. They're in a law. God gave the Ten Commandments to show us that it was impossible to follow the law apart from him.
And that's why he showed Christ at that point of time to follow the written law on your heart rather than following the old stony tablet heart.
That's right.
Well, that's when he says, I desire, you know, I don't desire law anymore. I desire the law written on our hearts.
I desire obedience.
Right.
The obedience is to the conviction and the will of God that's inside
right.
your heart.
It's almost like you don't even have to tell anybody about God.
No.
You don't.
Tell them about your heart. Tell them it's
exactly
you
want
to find God? Look at your heart. Look at your desires.
You don't even have to tell anybody about God. It's like you can take God completely out of this gospel and you can tell them, you know, you got that little ticker in there that tells you don't touch. Listen to it.
Yeah.
And take away those do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
If you feel it, do it.
If God isn't your heart.
I feel like a Nike commercial. Just do it.
If God isn't your desires and your dreams, then where is that personal relationship? If he isn't in you, then he's outside. And,
right.
And he's not. There's no relationship. You can't relate to anything because you're not relating to him. He's there.
Yep.
He's your hopes. He's your dreams. And if you realize that, there's a relationship already. There's already a relationship established between your hopes and your dreams, and that's God. And that's a relationship should be established.
You're absolutely right, because in religion, they don't have that oneness.
It's separate.
So they feel that he's distant.
That's right.
That he's out there, and I got to go over there to find him, or I got to start getting in my closet and keep praying him down that he would hear me when he's right here.
All you got to believe is that the desires in your heart are from God. The hopes in your heart are from, they're from somewhere.
Or they're real.
They're real.
How about just real?
How about this? They didn't come from you. They came from somewhere. They didn't come from you. You didn't always have, they didn't come from you. Their desires have been there since you were a kid most of the time. And they
came. Or they're evolving, you know.
Or they're evolving, correct.
You know, I like the reality of being honest and transparent within yourself.
Yeah.
When you can do that, you actually are living with God.
Correct.
Yes.
You actually are living with God when you are transparent and honest with yourself.
He's able to teach you, Lord. He's able to minister to you.
Mm-hmm. And guide you and lead you and direct you. And then he begins to become aware. Then right away you begin to start realizing, because that's when I think the supernatural starts kicking in. And then you say to yourself, how the heck did this happen?
Right.
It must be God. It must be God, because no way is this physically impossible.
It's impossible, that's right.
That this could happen.
That's right, yeah.
You see, I think when we are out of God's will, everything is basically impossible. And you're constantly fighting, trying to make it work.
Trying to make it happen.
Trying to make it happen.
Yep, you're using logic to try to figure it out, and you never can figure it
out. And you can't, because we don't have the mind of God. Exactly. But then when we walk in the will of God, follow our heart.
He opens every door.
It leads us to things that we say, how is it possible?
It shows up.
It's beyond comprehension.
It shows up.
There's a famous quote that says, nothing is impossible. The word itself says, I'm possible.
Yep, it is. I'm possible. Impossible, I'm possible. And it's true. In God, everything is possible. But he does it in a way where it's supernatural and it's beyond comprehension. And all you can say is,
oh, my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, and that's good that you said that because that's like a natural response. Even those that don't know God would say, oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's just a natural response. And that's, I believe, is when the awareness of God really starts to kick in.
You start realizing that God is looking after you.
Yeah.
It starts becoming personal. He is taking care of you now.
Yep.
He really loves you. He really cares about you. His goal is to give you the desires of your heart so that you can establish a relationship with him. So you realize it came from him. I want to give you the desires of your heart. Here, let me give them to you. And you're going to realize that I love you because I'm giving you the desires of your heart. That's how relationships established.
And you begin to start feeling confident. Exceedingly happy.
Trusting, happy.
Yeah. You feel peace. Cleaned because things are going the way you would want them to go.
You feel like you found your father. You're like, I found, I'm
so
good.
So what do you think just happened?
Salvation.
Salvation and also cleansing of sin.
Yep. And oneness.
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Cleansing of sin. Because I just feel like our listeners really got to understand how to be cleansed by sin.
Yep.
You know, I think the church was originally formed to cleanse sin, to bring people out of sin. Wouldn't you think that's how the church was supposed to be originally?
What they called it a long time ago was sin consciousness. They didn't even call it, they called it sin consciousness. It wasn't even called sin. It was sin consciousness because there was no sin. If he died for the sin, if the sins are already paid for, it's consciousness. It's not sin. It's sin consciousness. It's your aware. It's your creation of sin.
And is that when, like, originally that's how a church is supposed to be formed? To take people out of sin?
Sin consciousness, yes.
Yeah, to take people out of sin consciousness.
Because there really is no sin. They just, they create it and they believe it. They created their own little sin island.
Yeah.
So it's not even real. So they're living on a created island that they created, and we're just trying to get them off the island.
So people go to church to be cleansed from sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the motive. Is that the motive?
Yeah, because
they're
guilty.
I got to find out from people that are out there. Why do you go to church?
Well, they also want to have a relationship with God. They want
to
find out.
They
want
to fulfill their self-righteousness is what they want to do. Yeah.
They want to come to righteousness.
Yeah, they want to come to a relationship with God.
You think?
No. They want to fulfill their self-righteousness.
They want to fulfill their self-righteousness.
Not everybody, but
I think so.
Most people want to fulfill their self-righteousness. They want to go feel better. They want to go get a little fix and then go back to their ways. They're not changing. They're not, listen.
Well, what I'm saying is there's hungry people that want to know God.
Yeah, but.
And they know that they've already tried religion and it stinks. And you got other people that are in religion that want to fill their self-righteousness. So there's a different degree.
It all starts with that self-control. You know, repentance is a reflective of thought, which changes reflective of behavior. Behavior is not changing. There's no repentance whatsoever being done. So if behavior is not changing, then you're stuck.
No, I agree, but he said about church. Why do you come to church?
Yes.
Right.
All right, maybe I should reframe this. Why do people off the street go to church? It's like people who have never experienced God, they just want to get their life straight. They start going towards church, right? You know, most people, they get a certain age, they get married, they say, hey, hon, maybe it's time for
some
us
structure,
to
some
maybe
structure
get some
lives.
Church going.
Structure.
Yeah, let's get some church going on. Maybe we should start going on Sundays. You know, it'd be good for the kids, you and me, you know, that kind of thing.
Let's get moral.
Let's get
in our old age.
You know, I don't even know if they're really thinking of finding God yet. I think they just want to try to get sin consciousness, you know, cleansed by their sins. You know, because I'm really trying to think deep in this. Like, I'm seeking God in my own heart to find out, because this gospel, I feel, really needs to be brought out there.
Go on Facebook and you post a question on there. kind of like a poll. Click like for yes, click no, for, you know, something else for no. Why do you go to church? Is it because of you want to cleanse your conscience? Or is it because you want to know God?
Or because of past patterns.
Or past patterns.
My dad went to church. His dad went to church. My mom and dad went to church together with the family. So it's the right thing to do because they did it. It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
They did it. Guilt. My parents did it. Exactly right. Guilt.
The kids don't want to go. The parents force them to go.
Guilt. 100%. 100%. You're right. Hello.
And that was a tradition, though, too.
Patterns.
Passed down.
So they want to just be free from guilt, or their guilt into it.
That's right. They want to follow this. Keep the pattern going.
Traditions.
I'm not gonna be the one to get God out of my kid's life. I'm not gonna be the one that stops that. That's right.
Well, I mean, it's also like a law of God where He passes from the one generation, the second generation, the third generation of sin. You know,
yeah.
If there's sin in that, I'll pass it down to the third or fourth generation.
You're right there.
Well, that's a tradition too.
You're right there.
If you look at it. Yeah. Same thing.
Curses. Yeah. You know? It's that.
So we need to look at doing away with traditions and finding the true way of being cleansed by sin.
Correct.
And the true way of being cleansed by sin is following the convictions.
I think that people should focus on what they're going to attain instead of what they're running from. Let's talk what they're going to attain, the peace, joy, and righteousness. That's what they're going to get.
Right. Right now they're in guilt, shame, and condemnation.
They all know they're in guilt, shame. They all know they're suffering. They all know they're in guilt, shame. They all know. They know. They know that.
Right.
They don't know how to get out of it. They know they're in it. They know that they're in it, and they know they're suffering. They know that.
Yep.
There's no doubt.
But most people don't even want to obtain anything.
Because they don't know any better.
They're hopeless.
They don't know any better. They've never been given the golden ticket.
They're not goal-oriented either.
Correct.
They're hopeless because they don't know that God forgives.
They're complacent.
Their life is highs and lows.
I hear a lot of people tell me, God can't forgive me. I'm too wicked. I'm too bad. I did too much stuff in my life. God can't forgive me.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot from people.
And that may be a blow-off, too, because they just don't want to hear it.
Could be.
Or pride. Yeah. That's pride is what it is.
Yeah.
It's unworthiness. I'm not worthy to be forgiven. I remember my grandfather told me, he was a Mason. I did too much bad things in my life. God can't forgive me. I'm not going to heaven.
I would have played him then, you know, because I would have said, okay, then you can just go burn in hell then. If you feel like you can't be forgiven. Because God, for one, is formed to forgive everyone.
You're already forgiven. You're already forgiven.
Right.
There is no reason to be forgiven. You're already forgiven.
Right, but what Tim's saying is most people don't understand that, but at the same
time,
God has been formed to show His unconditional love.
They are forgiven,
but
they hold themselves accountable.
Yeah, by
people
their own,
put themselves in their own
by
prison
their judgments.
By
Correct.
Their own judgments, like we were saying earlier tonight. They put it on themselves.
Yeah, they create their own prison.
Yep, because they never follow the conviction. So then now I'm in condemnation, I'm in shame, and I'm in guilt.
And it's really hard to get out of that guilt.
It's hard to get out of it.
It's impossible
without
truth.
And regret, too. Regret is a big part of it.
It's impossible without truth to get out of it. It's impossible. You're not getting out of it without
truth.
Truth
is the only way to get out of it.
Being honest with yourself.
Right.
It's the only way to get out of it.
Yep. And that's like the next direction I wanted to go into.
Yes.
Because we are now understanding how to be free from sin.
Yep.
But then, what if we have imputed so much guilt and shame on ourselves?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got to get back to truth and facts. And that's what we were talking about as far as judgment.
Right.
So we judge ourselves based in sin.
Yep.
But now if we're free from sin, we can't judge ourselves in sin because now we're saying to ourselves, okay, God's is an all-loving God and now He... Because we know Him, we can start leading and following Him.
Yeah.
Well, now we're cleansed.
It's like this. When people are in sin and they're imputing it on themselves, right? You say, well, who told you that?
Right.
Oh, well, I didn't follow the conviction and I know it was wrong and I still did it. Okay, well, stop right there. Just change the way you're thinking and reverse what you did by walking away from it and changing your action and you're forgiven.
Well, that's the golden key of the true meaning of repentance.
Yeah.
Because repentance is just stop doing what you're doing and change the way you're thinking.
Right.
If you keep thinking in this direction, then you're going to continue to be in sin.
Correct.
You're not set. You're
not.
You
keep repeating the same right. process
you're,
over and over and
you're,
over.
You're no good.
Correct.
You're no good.
Correct. The very guilt of you doing it is what's making you do it over again because you're feeling that guilt never goes away. So it's a vicious cycle.
Yes.
Guilt makes you do it. You do it, and guilt makes you do it again. You do it. Guilt makes you do it again. You do it, and the guilt is the very fire that fuels your fire.
Yep.
This guy, what you said one time, you told a girl. You told a girl. You took that power away from that sin.
Yep.
You said, "I'm telling you to go do it. I'm saying it's okay. I'm taking the power of guilt away from it. Go do it." And she went, did it, and she didn't even like it anymore.
And she
didn't even like it.
And she went away from it.
Because he took the power of guilt away from her. He said, "Listen, I'm telling you as your you go ahead and do it. My permission. Go do it as much as you want. I don't care.
Yeah, I remember that.
Get it out of you. Get it out of you until you're sick of it." She went and did it, and she was disgusted with it. Because he took the power of sin away from the power of
guilt. And then she was totally free.
Done.
And never had that desire
to go back to it.
Yep. Which turned into truth. Just come and face them with truth and facts. You got to look at the truth and the facts. And that's where judgment comes. So forgiveness, offense, and judgment, if it's done correctly, it actually reverses itself. You're forgiven. You don't have any offenses because you can't have an offense. There's no offenses.
Correct.
And the judgment is no longer on you.
It's on the Father.
Yep.
You've given all judgment to the Father.
Yep. And that judgment now falls on them.
Jesus said, "I don't judge anybody, not even myself. I've given all judgment over to the Father."
Yep.
Jesus said, "I don't judge anybody, not even myself. All judgment is given to the Father."
You know, when Jesus said to those, "He's without sin, cast the first stone," he didn't judge them. They judged themselves. They threw the rocks down and left because of the conviction. They're like, "Oh, shoot, I've got to get out of here."
Well, that's a good point. Because now what happens is that judgment that you would have imputed on them,
correct,
God now imputed on them.
That's right.
And then that gives them an opportunity to look and,
they got
and to repent.
And they got guilty real quick, didn't they? They got guilty like that.
Yeah.
And they changed the way they changed.
Yes.
Yep.
And this is the whole point, that if you want a good world to live in, because what makes our world horrible?
Judgment. Judging
people coming against people coming against you, you coming against them. It's wars and rumors and wars, right?
Yeah.
So if you want to be free from these wars and you just want to live a life and be loved, right? How many people want to live a life and just be loved? Yeah. You know? Get those people off your back, leave you alone. Well, then the way to do it is, for one, you forgive them.
Yep.
Number two, you don't take offenses towards what they do.
Correct. Yep. You don't care.
Let them live a life.
You don't judge them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then all power is given back to God.
Yep.
And then God convicts them where you said they threw their stones down.
And they start being honest with themselves.
Yeah.
And they start looking at themselves.
Yeah.
And then they leave you alone.
Hello. Right.
It's supernatural. It's one of these mysteries that people don't understand. But if you don't apply this mystery, if you don't apply this gospel
truth, it
doesn't
become truth or life in you.
You can't forgive.
You're always going to judge.
So they are never forgiving you.
You're always going to judge.
Or you're going to, no, wait a minute, let's get stay on forgiveness. They can't forgive you, or they accuse you.
Right.
Because their unforgiveness is more accusing.
Yeah.
Right. So
they give power to it, too.
You can't forgive them because they're constantly accusing you. They're accusing you. They're pointing fingers at you. You're never right.
That's true.
Well, then you're offended. And if you're offended, guess what? They have power to be offended too.
Yep.
So their offenses never leave them. They hate you. They hate you.
Because
without a cause.
Because you gave them power.
Exactly
you
right.
You gave it to them.
You gave them. You gave them hatred towards you.
Yep.
And then you judge them.
Yep.
As they're being wrong. Then they turn around and they're judging you.
Yep.
And it's a vicious cycle and it never breaks. The curse never breaks. It gets powerful, more and more and more and more powerful. If if it's a true relationship that God wants you to have, and you reverse what was just said, where you forgive, you don't obtain any offenses,
yep.
and you give all judgment back to God, where God can work in them and make them drop the stones, then they'll either come back into your life or they'll never come back into your life.
It don't matter either way.
It don't matter either way. The most important thing is they leave you alone.
Yep.
Or they love you.
Yep.
They either love you or they leave you alone. That's what I want in my life.
Yeah.
I either want to be loved or left alone. I don't want to be attacked or tormented yeah. or have accusations against you or be accused. Mm-hmm. This goes wherever you go.
Yep.
This principle yep. goes wherever you go. From the person in line at Walmart or whatever to your coworker, family, friends, whatever it is. This principle goes wherever. It's a spiritual law.
And then people will see light in you.
Exactly right.
Because they're going to see darkness in you if you're all offended and judgmental and everything mm-hmm. else. But if you're not like that, they're going to see truth. It's the light.
They're going to see the Christ okay. in you.
Yep.
The beauty is you actually obtain a life.
Yep. It's true.
Your joy is not robbed. Your peace is not robbed. It's easier for you to enter into the kingdom of God. And this is what we want. We want to enter into the kingdom of God. We want to enter into God's will. We want to enter into the kingdom. We want a utopia life.
Yep. True.
Who doesn't want in a utopia life?
It's true.
I want it.
Paradise.
You know? Yeah, paradise.
Yeah, we
why can't paradise. We live in paradise now?
Jesus promised it to the guy on the cross.
Yeah.
Last he day didn't there.
Judge. Yeah.
Say if he would be in paradise forever.
Yeah.
We have to look and see, why are we not living in paradise?
That guy was given some of his death. He was given some in the last second. He, you know, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was. I like to lead everybody in paradise. I think it's possible. I really do.
Yes.
I think it's possible. You just have to be with them, for one, because they don't understand this mystery. So you have to constantly get them to look at the truth. Once you see the truth sets you free.
Yep.
And that's a big key in our life, that the truth sets you free.
Yep.
Sets you free. And
only the truth.
Only the truth. So everything that we do, we need to look within the truth. The truth of it. What is the truth? What is the truth? That's where that discernment comes in, where the discernment is the righteousness of God, where you look at the truth and you know what it is. If you know what it is, then you know it's more easier to palate.
One of the last levels of truth is it's all the Father.
Yeah.
That's that last level yeah. of truth, man.
Hey, I'm waiting for individuals who have accused. I mean, we've been in ministry for how many years? And I'm sure those that have been in ministry for many years can relate. You're nothing but judged all the time. You know, you're always coming under accusations. Look at Jesus. He was accused by everyone, you know. And so you look at it that way. But at the same time, I'm looking at God, one of God's promises of restoration.
Yep.
And for him to restore.
Yep.
And you know, if they come back in love, wonderful. If they never come back, well, at least you're not harassed.
Tormented.
Or tormented.
Right. Right.
I mean, what would you rather have? Would you rather have them in your life and be tormented?
I just want peace either way.
Yeah, exactly right. You want peace.
Yeah.
You know, you want peace.
Either way, whatever one brings peace, I'm taking
so
it.
So you say, okay, God, you are directing my steps. You have a plan and a purpose. Is this person part of the plan or not? You see? And that's the way you got to look at it.
Everything.
Everything. Because I think God, you know, with Scripture, he says, I'm a jealous God and I won't have any other gods before him.
Correct.
You know, sometimes we have idols in our lives and we don't even realize it.
Yep.
We could be so proud of an individual or whatever. They could be an idol.
Yep.
They can actually become idols in our lives.
Kids, wife, husband.
Exactly
car,
right.
Car, house,
everything.
Job.
Yeah.
Money.
How many idols do we have millions, in our lives?
Millions. Sports yeah. teams. Everything.
Exactly right.
It's everything.
So if
food,
yeah.
Food can be an idol.
It's a good one.
Food's
so,
a good one.
So if you can just lay everything down and not love really food. Claim anything.
Yep.
Love, yep. but don't claim it.
Yep.
You know?
You know what it is? If it be your will.
Yeah.
If it be your will.
Yeah.
Whatever, Father, you're in control. You're going to guide my day. I trust you today. Whatever you bring to me, I'm going to eat it. Whoever you're going to talk, whatever, I trust you today. Just trust you with my life.
Yeah.
Just give me a peaceful day, and I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah. It's really what it comes down to. Well, we ran out of time, so we have to pick up next Wednesday, our next meeting, which will be the second. Are we doing weekly or every other week, or what are we doing?
What do you guys feel? You want to go back to?
Let's check with our audience.
Every other week, or you want to do every second Wednesday?
Every other Wednesday?
No, second Wednesday.
Every second Wednesday.
So this will be October, the second Wednesday in October.
The second Wednesday of October. So those that are on the internet, stay tuned. We'll have our another Wednesday roundtable discussion. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Yeah.
We should really put it to the audience. They're going to see you do more. Let them talk.